This is Illinois Edition. I'm Sean Crawford. Illinois lawmakers are still discussing changing the way Illinois funds its schools, but are they making any progress on that? Our Education Desk reporter Dusty Rhodes now joins me to talk a bit more about it. Dusty, you covered a school funding committee hearing that took place on Thursday night last night. How late did that go?
It actually went till a little after 9 o'clock. It was supposed to start at 6. It started at 6:35 or so, and yeah, it was a long night. There were four panels of witnesses. It started out with the two senators who proposed different plans, Senator Andy Menard, Democrat from Bunker Hill, and Senator Jason Berrickman, Republican of Bloomington. Our listeners have heard about them continually over the past couple of years because they've been the two guys proposing school funding reform.
And last night, some of the differences between the two of them, their ideas, those differences were on display.
Yes. I should start by saying they're really on the same page about some pretty major things, chiefly that the new school funding formula should include the evidence-based model. That's the thing with the 27 metrics. We've talked about this many times here on this station, but it's a way of calculating an adequacy target for each school based on their demographics. So they agree on that thing, and that's a huge step forward.
So they are in agreement on some key points, but there are differences.
Oh, yes, there are differences. And I'm sad that I've already used the headline, "The Devil's in the Details," because I need to use that headline probably again and again over the next few weeks. Berrickman's theme is that his plan would remove political money, what he calls political decisions, like the block grant for Chicago Public Schools, a thing called the regionalization factor, where when you're deciding how much the adequacy target is for a school district, you look at the wage index and kind of adjust it, you know, because wages are different in different parts of the state. He wants to take that out because he says that it can be manipulated politically. Menard, on the other hand, says he's debated that in his head, but the reality is it would cost some district, it would leave some districts underfunded, and it would overfund other districts. But another thing that Berrickman wants to remove is this equity grant. That was some stopgap funding that was applied in FY17. And actually, you know, Berrickman had released a spreadsheet that showed how everybody was going to come out, and it showed that Chicago Public Schools would be the only losers under his plan. But actually last night it turned out that there was a little hiccup in that spreadsheet. That column heading was not quite precise. And actually there would be some other losers, like Berwyn School District, which is 87% low income, would be a losing district. The number crunchers are still looking at that to see how that hiccup came into the spreadsheet. You know, the spreadsheet he provided was a PDF, so not exactly totally transparent.
Well, of course, whenever you have a school district that loses money, it makes it harder for a lawmaker to vote for that plan. And that's been part of the discussion that has, you know, that's held this idea of school funding reform up for years. Is that something that can be overcome here?
Well, that's actually Menard's theme. He says that I've lost count. He had Senate Bill 16, Senate Bill 1, Senate Bill 231, and now this is Senate Bill 1, Floor Amendment 3 again. So this is his fourth school funding plan. He's been around the block, and he said he has been very well trained by his colleagues that they will not vote for anything where districts lose money. And his view is if that's the line in the sand, no district loses money, then it has to be true for all districts, including Chicago, that what Berrickman is calling political decisions, yes, maybe political decisions, but that the old school formula was made up of lots of political decisions that go back for decades, and that you can't pull out one and say, we're not going to use this one. And so you might as well just start from where we are and move on from there. That's kind of Menard's point of view. I'm trying not to get in the weeds there.
Well, did the committee come up with any decision last night? And then Also, what's ahead here? The legislative session is scheduled to end at the end of this month.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Sorry. They did not come up with any decisions because it was a subject matter only hearing. And I think that that helped the tone be very civil. It was really nice. I mean, people went out of their ways to compliment each other across the aisle and sound harmonious. I think if it had come down to a vote, it would have had a very different tone, even just leading into that. Even just setting up the meeting last night had a kind of little snarky tone where Berkman kept trying to get it heard, and the Democrats, it seemed to be a little bit of trouble to get it heard. And then also, you know, we've got the bill in the House. It's completely, even though Menard made his bill identical to the one in the House, that's carried by Representative Will Davis, a Democrat of Homewood, and with a chief co-sponsor, Bob Pritchard, who's a Republican from Hinckley. They are going through a lot of talks right now and trying to amend that bill. We don't know exactly what it will look like. One thing that I've finally come to realize at the State House is that communication between the House and the Senate is spotty, shall we say. They're static there. So, I should also mention, but this was not discussed at all last night, but Menard has amended his bill again strictly to decouple it from the Graham bargain. He announced that at the beginning of the night. No one said a word about it, but I tweeted it. It got a lot of retweets. So I think that that's a bigger thing than was acknowledged in the room.
And that's Dusty Rhodes. She covers education for us from her education desk.